Tracy Malone from NarcissistAbuseSupport.com, your global resource for everything narcissist abuse, from healing to what the heck is happening. Today, I've got a special guest, Krista Sheldon, and she has a forensic solution for people who are suspecting that their ex is hiding money, or that they haven't really revealed all the accounts that they should have, and you're just suspicious of what the heck is going, and you want someone to help you find the money. For so many years of all my coaching, so many people going through this kind of divorce, I've seen the forensic accountants take it, and I've seen other places and people that are coming in to find the money. And you know, when they do, your life changes. And if you can find the truth in what is going on financially, it could make the difference between being able to feed yourself or not, or being able to afford that house or not. So Chris has got the solution. So let's go meet with her, because if this is something that you are struggling with, you just know they're hiding money, let's go listen to her. You're going to really get a lot out of this. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome, Krista. I am so excited that you are here to join us. You are the forensic accountant answer to everyone in my arena of narcissistic abuse and divorce. You're the solution that they all need. So I am so honored
to be here.
Thank you. Yes. So before we start in talking about what your company has created that is going to help people find the money, what I would love for you to talk about, we just told a story that you just told me about what happened this week and what a win it was for you, because I think hearing that first is going to help people understand if they're in this situation, here's how you can help. And then we'll talk about all the forensic stuff that we've got on our plate here. But can you share that story with the audience?
Absolutely. This was by far the most epic day of my entire career. And I've been doing fraud and forensics for a long time, including, you know, as a special agent. So, but this case just Monday, I was, you know, scheduled to appear for a divorce trial, and my clients had concerns about the financial information that was being provided by her husband, who is a small business owner. And during the course of my investigation, I found a lot of evidence that pointed to fraud. And so I uncovered all that evidence, and I showed up that morning and I sat with, you know, my client's attorney, as well as her, you know, soon to be spouse's attorney, and walked him through the evidence that I had discovered. And I looked at him straight in the face and I said, if your client testifies in trial, he's either going to perjure himself or he's going to admit to tax fraud. And within a couple of hours, it resulted in an additional $265,000 settlements for this woman from a client. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is a woman who, you know, has spent 30 years as a stay-home mom, has a special needs son. And, you know, he was being a jerk, and he was sure enough, he was hiding information and he was underreporting his income. And so not only did we get that additional settlement, but we increased his income by over $75,000 for what was going to be used for the child support calculations. So, you know, these are real, you know, real results that, you know, made a huge difference in this woman's life. And I'm just, you know, thrilled to be able to share that story with you.
I am so happy that you did, because as I said, every single one of my clients going through a divorce with a narcissist has that suspicion. I know I did. And, you know, hunting it down can be very expensive, and it could be something that people are like, oh, I need that, but I can't afford that. And so why don't you tell us about your product, and then we'll get into sort of like the what fraud is and what we're looking for and that sort of thing. But tell us, you've created this system. So tell us about it.
Yes. Okay. So Focus Forensic Solutions, we have created a new product called the Red Flag Analysis. And so what we have done is created this unique process where we analyze standard first round discovery documents at divorce or family law proceeding. And so, you know, the primary things we're looking at are tax returns and bank statements, but any information that you provide to us that we look through. And so we take that information and we look for suspicious activity. We look for signs of financial deception. And, you know, if we find red flags, and those kind of things would be unreported income, hidden assets, hidden bank accounts, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so when we do find red flags, then we develop a tailored plan of action you know, that fits the needs of our client, whether that be, you know, going back to the other side and asking for additional discovery records, or, you know, illuminating records that are missing from discovery that you guys have already requested. And so, you know, it's something that we have been doing for several months now. And we, the best part about this whole process is that we're doing it at a flat rate fee. And so we'll talk a little bit more about the pricing structure, but, you know, that's to me is, you know, one of the things I kept hearing about, you know, kind of this industry was, you know, you sign up for a high hourly rate for a forensic accountant, and then you have no control over the amount of hours that are spent. And so our fee is based solely on the number of pages of documents that you give us. And, you know, that's because it does take, you know, much more detailed analysis depending on the amount of records. But, you know, we want this to be affordable. We want this to be for people who need the help. And we want to try to give our clients peace of mind. So I'm super excited to be here and talk to you about it.
I'm excited. When we were introduced and we found each other, I was like, oh my God, everyone needs this. This is so, so helpful. So let's talk about what types of financial fraud, you know, is typically seen in a divorce.
So yes, and that's a great question. So, you know, we uncover lots of different common types of fraud in this kind of proceeding. One of the most prevalent issues is hidden assets and bank accounts. You know, it's like playing a high stakes game of hide and seek where one spouse is trying to conceal, you know, their wealth from the other individual. You know, some of the other things that we look for is specifically if a spouse owns a small business, then that gives them an ability to manipulate their income and or expenses. And sometimes they do it for the divorce. Sometimes they've been doing it because they've been cheating the IRS for 10 years. But those, you know, unreported income and overstated expenses, that's painting a picture of someone's income that's not correct. And so our goal is to kind of shed light on that and bring those, you know, bring those issues to the forefront so that we can make sure that our clients get a fair settlement.
Absolutely. This is the kind of stuff we're looking for. And there's signs and patterns. Like everyone is like, you know, we used to have a tax return that made this much, and well, suddenly it's half the amount. And, you know, what other signs are people actually going? I believe that they're, but what are the signs? Because it's different than I just have a feeling. If you look for these signs and patterns, then you have a better, you know, Geiger counter to say, yeah, maybe we're right.
Yes. Well, you know, first of all, the number one sign that we look for is when there's like a glaring discrepancy between lifestyle and reported income. And I use this example a lot because when I worked for the IRS, you would be surprised how many times I would see a tax return where somebody's claiming like $30,000 in income, but they're living in $1 million house. Wow. We call that a clue, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And so that's one of the first things that you can look for. Another sign would be like overly complex financial arrangements. So when somebody's using shell companies, trusts, offshore accounts, that kind of thing, it's, you know, it's almost like they're setting up a playground where they can stash away, you know, different kinds of assets and stuff. So that's one thing to look for. You know, don't forget about missing discovery documents. You know, if somebody is playing coy and they're not providing, they're either refusing to provide information, or if you notice, you know, months of statements missing when you have, you know, two or three years, that would be a big red flag. And then lastly, you know, if one spouse is the gatekeeper of all things money, you know, they're controlling all of the financial household finances and not letting anybody else, you know, have any information on that. That's not just a power play. That's a big warning sign that something's not quite right. And so those are the things, you know, those are like the breadcrumbs that, you know, we can tell at that point whether they're, you know, it's just smoke or if there's an actual fire.
Yeah, I bet. So one of the things you just said, and I'm like, oh, wrote it down, the offshore account. So when I was going through my divorce, I had statements for my husband's $5 million account in Switzerland. I had the statements, and they just, him and his mommy and daddy sat on the stand and said, no, we don't have that account. We closed it. And the judge went, oh, it's international, can't do anything about it. And they walked away from all of that, right? And so how hard is it to find offshore accounts? Because those are hard. I imagine crypto is in that, you know, ballgame. A lot of people are like, they've got all these crypto things, and how am I going to find it? How hard is it to find offshore accounts and make them, the court honor that, like they didn't in my case?
Yes. And, you know, there's lots of different things and tactics that we use to find things like that. So number one, if somebody is trying to hide an offshore account in a divorce, they might not always be so equipped to do that with the IRS. And so if somebody has an offshore account, that has to be reported to the IRS on that 1040 tax return. And so we scrutinize every single line item on a tax return to look for things like that. The other thing would be is just to monitor your own personal bank accounts. If you see transfers or see checks going to other financial institutions, then that can be a sign that there's another account out there that you're missing. Mm-hmm. You know, and as far as, you know, forcing a court to recognize that, I mean, it would just, you know, you can gather all the evidence you can and provide the facts and just try to make it as clear as possible for the judge. And, you know, and that's a lot of times where we'll be used as an expert witness in a trial is to be able to shed light on, you know, things like that, where we have that expertise that we can add that expertise as a layer of information for the judge.
Mm-hmm. How hard is it for someone to do this by themselves?
Well, you know, I've been trying to create kind of a list of things that people can do on their own, you know, if they suspect, because there are proactive steps that people can take. Number one would be start gathering documentation, you know, start gathering the financial statements, the tax returns, you know, records of any other major purchases that you have. You know, I mentioned this before, but monitoring bank and credit card records, you know, looking for those unusual transactions. Looking for transactions at financial institutions that you're not aware of, you know, having a relationship with, you know, reviewing those tax returns really carefully, you know, that they paint a big picture about somebody's income and expenses. And so somebody might be more willing to hide money or assets on a divorce, whereas, you know, dealing with the federal government might be one, you know, area that they're not willing to go that step further. So really taking a look and looking at every single thing on a tax return is a big one. And then at the end of the day, you know, seek professional advice. If you're finding these things and your gut is telling you that something's not quite right, mm-hmm. you know, using somebody like Focus Forensic, using somebody who has the expertise of putting together all the puzzle pieces in order to create a, you know, an idea of what the actual financial picture looks like, I think is really important.
Yeah. And I wrote something down was tax returns. You were mentioning tax returns, and so many, you know, people who have been sort of financially controlled go into this divorce and going, they won't give me access. I don't have them. And I know that you can request them from the IRS, which is like what we ended up having to do because they just are being that uncooperative. And what is someone going to do when it comes to the tax returns and they have no access? Because that is especially if they have their own small business, you're getting a lot more information than you would if you yes. didn't have that. What do they do if they can't get them other than going to the IRS?
Well, so that would be always my first step would be to go directly to the source. And so if it is a joint tax return, then you have access to that through the IRS and you can call them yourself. And even if you're the secondary person on it, if it is your tax return, you can absolutely get transcripts. And, you know, the IRS is actually making that an easier process. So you can actually go online and request even just transcripts where it'll show you all the line item numbers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you mentioned IRS. And I want to talk about a couple other things because, you know, in a scenario where maybe we do fund fraud and maybe it is from a related business, but that income flows through to your, you know, personal tax return with your spouse. Mm-hmm. If there's fraud, that is something to be concerned about, right? Mm-hmm. And so the IRS does have a program called the Innocent Spouse Program. And so you can actually provide information to the IRS about your circumstances. You know, where you can provide information about, you know, how much involvement you have in the preparation of that return, et cetera, et cetera. And the IRS, you know, based on that information can declare you an innocent spouse. And so even if the IRS goes back and makes changes to returns that you're, you know, filed jointly, they can limit that your exposure to that as a spouse. And so I think that's really important. And then the other thing I would mention about the IRS is there is a mechanism to claim a reward. So if you have information about your spouse, right? If you have information about your spouse committing fraud against the IRS and defrauding the IRS, there's a form that you can file that information with and request. And it's between 20% and 40% of the amount that's collected is what the IRS will pay you for that information. And so, you know, it's just another mechanism for, you know, having some leverage in a case like this.
Yeah. I mean, what's the risk though? If they're gonna go reporting it, and I just had a client with the innocent spouse clause because she read about it in my book and she was like, wait a second. She applied for it and only portion of it was you're not liable for this part, like his business stuff that they could clear out. So it's not you could just get off out of jail free card. And what's the risk if you're reporting them and now you're sort of, oh, we did fraud instead of reporting their fraud?
Yes. I mean, and that is absolutely something to take into consideration. Another thing to look for or look at that, you know, another way to look at that scenario is that if you're reducing, you know, if for some reason your spouse was committing fraud and, you know, the IRS went after them, you could potentially be, you know, what's the term they use where you're, you know, killing the, or don't, my dad says this all the time.
Don't kick birds with one stone.
Yeah. Don't kick a gift horse in the mouth, I guess. You know, and so if your child support and spousal maintenance are based on, you know, income, then maybe that's a scenario where you don't want to do something like that. So it's just, you know, you've got to look at all the circumstances, seek professional guidance, you know, from individuals who are in this arena, to determine what's best for you and your family.
Mm-hmm. When people come to you and they mm-hmm. hire you guys, cause they suspect fraud, what's the percentage that you actually find it?
You would be shocked. I just did another, you know, kind of presentation this week and I said 75%. Of the time. But I think that after I thought about that, that number is probably low. And let me say this, it's when there's a small business involved, that is when somebody has the biggest ability to manipulate the income. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and what we typically find in those cases is the unreported income, or we find a lot of personal expenses that have been shifted over to the business. But I mean, if you think about that, if somebody's claiming $100,000 in income, but you know, net income from their business, but they've been putting $50,000 in personal expenses in that. I mean, technically that personal expenses becomes income to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, you've now put them up from $100,000 to $150,000 a year in income. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah. Wow. So amazing. I was wondering how high that number was. I believe I don't know what you actually find, but I know 90% of my clients definitely suspect it. And so
yes.
At the end of the day, go ahead.
Well, we're not looking for $500 in unreported income. We are looking for things that are going to make a difference in a settlement or in maintenance and child support. So, you know, we analyze every single transaction to look for clues and to look for those hidden assets. But, you know, we're looking for things that are going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And I know for me, a lot of my clients, again, the uncooperativeness of a narcissist is... Mine was in contempt 6 times for never handing in any paperwork. And what I have since learned is that we could have subpoenaed the records. We could have gotten it instead of, let's ask again. Oh, go ahead. Go be in contempt again. Go ahead. Do it again. Do it again. We wasted, you know, a whole lot of money going back to trial when he never produced the stuff. But now people really need to understand those that are out there that are going, but I don't have anything. How could I possibly hire her? I don't have any records to pawn over and look at for this fraud. That's the more fearful position. But what I want everyone to know is call up Citibank, you know, call up this or get the subpoena. If you're not on the account, if you're on the Citibank account, then ask for it. They're not giving it to you. But if you're not on the account, your lawyer can file the subpoenas right to Citibank, and they're going to have to present the records. So, and it could be sort of a carte blanche, as I understand it, like Citibank, whatever account you have, not, I know there's one, but whatever you got, and you could sit there and track that down so that you can walk into someone like yourself with the understanding of, I got the paperwork, right? Is that how you see these things happening as well?
That's absolutely true. And, you know, one of the first things that we do when we get involved in a divorce is we take a look at what was requested in discovery and what was received. And so we, you know, balance those out to make sure, and then we'll highlight anything that's been requested that you haven't received right away. Like that's standard first thing that we do so that, you know, those records can, you know, your attorney can start going after them. Subpoenas are absolutely great. Especially if somebody is refusing to provide records. And, you know, one of the big signs, if somebody is missing just a couple bank statements, or, you know, they provided 1 year and not another year, in today's digital world, can you not go to your online banking and print off your bank statements? I mean, that excuse does not work at all. And so, you know, it's a matter of having your attorney fight for you and, you know, having the ability to use things like subpoena power and following up on those. And it's important, you know, having all of the records gives us the entire financial picture that we're looking for.
Yeah. And I think everyone needs to understand if I'm not saying my lawyer did it wrong, I'm just saying that, you know, I was unaware of what could have happened, what we could have asked for. So, you know, asking your lawyer, what else can we do? You know, this isn't happening, and getting that transcript, getting those things that you need, the statements, by subpoenaing them and doing it right away. Don't waste time, everybody. If they have not produced statements, don't be Tracy and give them a year of, oh, we didn't do it again. Oh, we didn't do it again. Again, six contempt of charges meant nothing because nothing ever happened. But had we gone from date one of you should have had them in by this date, and then we have motion to compel, motion to comply, and then right into the other things, so that there's a record of their uncooperativeness instead of waiting. Let's give them another chance. Oh, my lawyer sent their lawyer another email. That's your $500 you just lost because you're chasing money. And so knowing what your rights are and jumping on every one of their offenses of they didn't do it, Let the court know, because that is shaping their persona to the judge, their uncooperativeness, their, you know, rejection of doing anything that they're ordered to. And that could have an effect on the decision as well.
Yes. And I'm going to piggyback off of that too, because a lot of times when I am dealing with a spouse that has a small business, you know, a lot of times they'll just want to provide a tax return. They may even fight providing the business tax returns. But you are also allowed to get those business bank statements and to get the business records. And what I mean by that is giving me a tax return that just has a total figure for the, you know, gross receipts or in all their expenses doesn't give me anything that I can verify. And so I need to see those bank statements. I need to see the credit card records for the business, because we find personal expenses in those credit cards all the time. And then as far as business records, the main document that we rely on is called a general ledger. And it is a ledger that records every single transaction that occurs in that business within a year. And so those are documents that we absolutely suggest in any case where there's a small business involved, you absolutely need to get those records.
Yeah. General ledgers are good. But again,
yes, favorite accounting document.
Yeah.
And correct. Yeah.
Lawyers don't necessarily know they're not the number people. That's what your job is. So tell us about the red flag analysis and how this whole thing works.
Sure. So again, our process starts with just the standard first round discovery that's, you know, exchanged in a divorce. The primary things that we are looking at are tax returns and bank statements. However, we will look at every single piece of documentation that you provide to us. So we start off with a tax return comparison, where we scrutinize every single line and every single figure that's on any kind of tax return. And we're looking for anomalies. We're looking for, you know, anything that could signal some sort of financial manipulation. And then, you know, from there, our team of experts, we meticulously go through those bank accounts like you wouldn't believe. We look at every single transaction that goes through a bank account, because even the smallest little discrepancy can end up leading to, you know, an iceberg of information. And so, you know, we don't even just stop there. We also work really closely with a PI firm, Taylor Payton Investigations, and they are absolutely fantastic. And we order comprehensive reports from them, where we get a list of all properties and all vehicles that are associated with the party that we provide, you know, information on. And so, yeah, it's just one more layer of what we're able to, you know, go through to kind of match up the entire financial picture. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at all the interrogatories that are provided. We compare the income and expense statements, as well as the asset and debt, you know, statements that are typically provided in divorce cases. You know, and again, we're looking for those discrepancies. We're looking for those areas that could be, you know, hold suspicious activity. And then we immediately start developing a plan. And whether that plan is, you know, here's some additional records that should be requested. Here's maybe some interrogatories that could be asked to get them, you know, get them on record answering something. We can help identify potential witnesses. And, you know, and we can follow up from there. We can provide expert witness reports. We can show up and be an expert witness in your case, in your trial. We can help your attorney prepare for depositions by, you know, providing questions and providing documents to review with them. So, you know, we have a lot of experience in this area, and we will assist our team, you know, our clients, however way we can. And so, and again, this is all done at a flat rate fee, which is, you know, the best part about it. Most cases, it's just the standard flat rate fee. The only time we increase it is based just solely on the number of documents. And that's just because, you know, the more documents there are, the longer it takes us to do this.
Be digging.
But, you know, at the end of the day, we want it to be fair. We want it to be accurate. And so we follow up on all this information and just try to shed light on things that we think look suspicious.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Now, here's something that I really absolutely don't know the answer to, but as you were talking, I wrote down the word.
Okay.
Why can't we? And maybe we can. Can we ask for a credit report, which would show all the other, you know, accounts that are there, right? It's not usually part of the divorce. Is there a reason?
You know, I don't know if there's a specific reason. I've seen it in some cases and not in others. You know, a lot of times, and we talked about the subpoena, you know, issuing subpoenas to financial institutions. If you're issuing a subpoena, you should always be asking for loan information too. And a lot of times those loan packets will include a copy of the credit report. Yeah. So that's another way of getting that information without even going directly to the credit card or, you know, the credit agency. Mm-hmm. But yes, I'll have to research that a little bit more to see, you know, what specifically you could do in a divorce to get that. But I would think that would be something somehow you would be able to get, even if you're, you know, using a PI firm to get that information. I mean, there are ways to get it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for hidden accounts or hidden cards, yes, and things like that, you won't necessarily find a trust laying in there, but you certainly could see things and shed a light. I mean, that would open up a lot less cheating on the financial things because, hey, we're going to ask for that and you can't hide it. You know, we brought up this before and I totally forgot. Crypto, how hard is that to track? Because a lot of my clients, it's like a web and it's really hard for them to locate where that money or investments went.
You know, and I dealt with this a lot. We haven't talked about my experience a whole lot yet, but, you know, we dealt with cryptocurrency and even things like Venmo and PayPal a lot when I was with the IRS. And in fact, I was just asked, there's a family law conference here in Missouri, and I was actually asked to create a presentation specifically geared towards this issue. So another, you know, again, it's about seeing little transactions within your bank, because at some point you have to open up a cryptocurrency account, right? And so there's usually some sort of, even if it's just one of those, you know, PayPal gives you a penny and then they take a penny back just to verify account. There's still, that is telling you that there's an account out there. And so you always are going to start by, you know, requesting the information from the other side in a discovery request. But again, those are still financial institutions. And so if your attorney has subpoena power, you can absolutely subpoena Venmo. Venmo is a financial institution that has records. Mm-hmm. And as much as people want to pretend like it's anonymous, it is not. Those records are still in a system somewhere. And it's just a matter of getting to it.
Yeah. Perfect. I know you have your experience, which you were part of the IRS, and I know you have an amazing team. I want to talk about them just so people understand you're not just talking about two ladies in the corner that decided to do this. You've got some bones on the meat here. You're just like, wonk. Tell us about that.
So, you know, as the founder of Focus Forensic Solutions, you know, I founded this company after working for the IRS for 13 and a half years. I started out as a revenue agent where I was actually auditing small businesses and self-employed individuals, and then, you know, shifted over to the criminal side. So I was a special agent for about 10 years where I was investigating, you know, tax evasion, money laundering, you know, violations of the Bank Secrecy Act, like all kinds of those things. And so, you know, we use that training and experience that we have working financial investigations for the federal government. And that's what we've used to design this process of scrutinizing financial information, you know. And so Maggie is another key member of our team, and she brings 16 years of experience working in the banking industry. And so again, she's got all of that knowledge in the banking industry, looking at unusual transactions, tracing the money. And so we rely heavily on her, and she's very attention detailed. I mean, she's absolutely fantastic. And so, you know, what I would say is, though, the total of my team, we have 89 years of experience working financial investigations for the IRS. 89 years between, you know, and it's former revenue agents, former revenue officers, which are the collection side of the IRS, mm-hmm. and former special agents. And so, you know, again, we just use all of that training experience that we have, and we use it to try to help our clients, you know, shed light and eliminate the uncertainty in these financial situations.
Wow, this is amazing. The last thing I want to ask you is just talk about, like, what's the ballpark? I mean, if there's a ballpark, you said it's a flat fee, you know, just so people are like, oh, I can afford that, or no, that's not going to help me. But whatever it is, getting $265,000 in the end is worth a lot. But so tell us, you know, how does it structurally work?
We start our rate at $3,500. And so, you know, again, it's based solely on the number of documents, the number of pages in the information that you're providing to us. Most cases are between $3,500 and $5,000. And by the end of that, again, we have reviewed all of the information that you provided us. And then we are coming back to you with, here's the red flags we've found. Mm-hmm. Here's kind of a plan for what we would do to, you know, to follow up on those issues. Mm-hmm. And if we don't find red flags, and I want to tell you about a scenario, because I did have one case where, you know, this, you know, client was convinced that her spouse was hiding information and hiding money in a small business. And we took a look at it, and we did our, you know, our same analyses that we do on every case. And we didn't find any suspicious activity. We didn't find those red flags. And when I first told her about this, you know, told her the results, she was really upset. And, you know, again, I understand she was, you know, hoping that there was something there, and we just didn't find anything. And in that case, she called me about 2 weeks later and thanked me, because even though we didn't find anything, she knew, like, we gave her that peace of mind, knowing that the information that her, you know, settlement was being driven from was accurate. And so, you know, again, even if we don't find red flags, we provide that peace of mind for our clients. And so I think that's still really important.
Absolutely. And you know, $3,500 is an amazing deal. I've had people with $40,000 forensic accountant for the day, not even like, you know, for the you know, they might've spent 60 over the time, but then, you know, having them come and appear at the mediation, that was $40,000 with two forensics sitting there, and they never discovered anything. And it wasn't until later that that client did find some of the money, and the forensics didn't. It was really taking numbers, putting them into a sheet, and charging $40,000. So those things can get expensive.
It is. And that's part of the reason that we developed this entire thing, is because I kept seeing that over and over. I would talk to people, and they would, you know, people were scared to sign up for an hourly rate. Again, not knowing, not having any control over the amount of hours that are being spent. And so not only is this, you know, affordable for individuals, but I think it's something that that attorneys can sell to their clients, because again, they're not signing them up for an enormous amount of money. I mean, you know exactly what you're getting, you know exactly what the price is. There's no hidden fees. I mean, we take that first round discovery, and we are going to tell you what is there or what's not there.
Mm-hmm. This is so amazing. I am so happy that my people are going to know about you. Sorry, my throat is all scratchy today. Tell us how people can get in touch with you and learn more about all of your services.
Sure. The easiest way is focusforensic.com. And I believe you're going to provide the URL for that. And then we, you know, you could email us at info@focusforensic.com. We also have a phone number. It's an 800 number that's on our website, and we'd be happy to talk to you. We do provide free consultations, to anybody, because at the end of the day, if I don't think there's a need for you to hire us for, like, I'm not going to sell it to you. You know, I want this to be something that's beneficial for our clients and for, you know, our client attorneys, and, you know, we want to help people as much as we possibly can. So I will also say, you know, LinkedIn is another good way to connect with us. You know, my name is Krista Shelton. And, you know, we do provide, you know, articles and some blog posts on things that people can look for in divorces. And so, you know, we continue to create content, and we'll continue to upload that on our website. And, yeah, we have to talk to you. And if you have a concern about a financial scenario, then give us a call and we'd be happy to help you.
Thank you so much, Krista. This has been so, like, enlightening. And I know that this is going to help a lot of people that just feel so stuck. And, you know, the thought of that peace of mind, nope, there's nothing there, or, ooh, look what we found. That peace of mind, yes, is what we give them. And while to some people, $3,500 is a lot of money, but it really depends on what the estate is. Again, if they're a doctor and they've got business, or they got a small business, there's a lot more in it. And most narcissists are like, oh, it's my business, not yours. You don't have a right to it. So getting into this stuff and really seeing what they're trying to hide from you is going to be key, yes, to your survival in many cases. That's a huge, yes, win that you had with your client this week. So thank you for sharing that and all your stories. And thank you for being with me today.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled about this product and I believe in it. And, you know, again, if there's something we can help you with, we'd be happy to.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
I hope you guys found that helpful. I am going to tell you that every one of my clients that is dealing with this sort of financial abuse and hidden assets is going to get her number, because I think her services are going to make a difference in your life, make a difference in your case. And while it's still expensive, it's a lot more affordable than so many of the other solutions that lawyers usually throw out. Forensic accountants, they always throw that out. Let's get one. Let's get two. Let's have a party with forensic accountants. But that's not going to help you. You need is someone that's going to do exactly what she did. And you want to be one of those hero stories that she talked about in the very beginning. I'm glad she shared that with us. This is Tracy Malone. I am your divorce of a narcissist. I'm the author. I should always hold this up. Oh, I always forget. The author of Divorcing Your Narcissist, You Can't Make This Shit Up. It's a really big book filled with so many tips. If you are going through a divorce with a narcissist, get my book. It'll be the best investment that you ever made, and it'll start to save you. This is Tracy Malone. Thank you so much. If you are not subscribed to my channel and you made it this far, please subscribe, and I'll see you again.